Ladies and gentlemen, good morning. Happy, fabulous Friday, December 21st, 2012. What a great day it is to be alive, my friends. Wow, I'm excited about life. I'm excited to be here. I'm excited about living the Think and Grow Rich lifestyle and philosophy. This morning, I woke up out of bed, got myself a couple big glasses of water, and I put my headphones on. And I listened to my auto-suggestion, my document, my major definite purpose, my self-confidence formula, the beliefs that I'm working on developing within myself, the philosophy that I want to embed within my mind. I recorded it last night. I listened to it this morning. And isn't it amazing how if you do something like that first thing in the morning, you can wake up a little bit cloudy. You can wake up with a little bit of a, you know, lack of direction. But as soon as you go through that document, as soon as you go through your purpose, as soon as you remind yourself of how confident you are that those things are going to come into your life, as soon as you paint that vision for yourself of that future that you're working on developing and bringing to pass within your life, how all the fog seems to drift away and clarity comes into your life. I love that. And I'm so grateful that I have a chance to be reminded to do that every day. Cause sometimes I'll admit I fall out of practice with it. Sometimes, you know, I'll get into a little rut where I'll forget the power of it. But every day we come to this call, we study Think and Grow Rich. We study Napoleon Hill. We remind ourselves of these things that are so important, and we keep each other, you know, pushing on and going forth. And it was after a call the other day that I was re-inspired to redo my document, and I'm so glad I did because it's giving me so much direction and so much clarity in my life. So hope you're finding that for yourself. If you're just starting this process, keep on keeping on. It is life-changing. You will see almost miraculous results come into your life as you take action on the steps laid down for us in the book, Think and Grow Rich, by Dr. Napoleon Hill. And I'll tell you what, it is wonderful to be alive. We do have limited time on this earth. That's one of the things that I remind myself in my auto-suggestion formula is that time is limited. And one of the things that I want to do that I am committing to myself to do is to treasure each moment. We talk about that from time to time. We talk about living in the present. We talk about enjoying the time that we have and just savoring every moment. Jim Rohn said, wherever you are, be there. You know, if you're in the moment somewhere with a family member or a friend, or if you're in the moment with your business, be there. Don't let your mind be somewhere else. Just soak in the panorama of life that's happening. And as we start out the call, I'm challenging myself to do that. Enjoy the time that we have together for this hour, where we're instructing each other, where we're edifying each other, where we're lifting each other up. It's actually kind of funny. Yesterday, I had the opportunity to go to lunch with one of my very best friends here in Southeast Idaho. He's a dear friend. He's somebody that cares so much about life and personal growth and seeking and finding, you know, truth and answers. And so sometimes when we get together, we just, gosh, we have the greatest conversations. And so I went to lunch with this friend yesterday, and I got home and my wife says, Paul, she goes, it's a good thing you and Brandon don't have jobs. And I said, why is that? And she goes, because any boss would have fired you both for taking a 4-hour lunch. I went to lunch with him at like 1 o'clock, came home at 5. But we just had the greatest time. We got together. We treasured the moments that we had. We shared good conversation over good food. We talked about our lives and dreaming and goals and imagination and some of the business ideas that he has. And it was just a great time to savor life. And we can all do that. We can all savor life as we move forward. And as we think and grow rich, we can have sometimes a little bit more freedom where we can take a 4-hour lunch and we can do some of the other things that we want to do. So enjoy some of the little joys of life. And that's what we're all working towards on this call. So thank you for being here. Thank you for being who you are. Thank you for committing to come to this call every day, grow yourself, and help others grow in the process. That's the purpose. That's why we're here. We're here to work together harder on ourselves than we do on our jobs, like Jim Rohn used to say. Work hard. He says that's a secret to success. Work harder on yourself than you do on your job. And those of us who are on this call every day, boy, are we serious about applying that piece of counsel given to us by Jim Rohn. Because we are here every day, Monday through Friday, 9 a.m. Eastern Standard Time, 6 a.m. Pacific. There's rarely a day that I'll miss. I mean, unless I'm sick as I was last week, I'm here every day as if many of you are. And that's commitment. And, you know, that's the commitment that it takes to really cause yourself to bring about the greatness that you have within you. So my hat is definitely off to you. I salute you. I respect you. I appreciate you. Thank you for being who you are. And with that, let's jump into the study today, which is chapter 6 of the book Think and Grow Rich, the formula laid down for us by Dr. Napoleon Hill over 25 years of research, leads us to chapter 6 today, Imagination, the Workshop of the Mind. And this is the fifth step toward riches. The imagination is literally the workshop wherein are fashioned all plans created by man. The impulse, the desire, is given shape, form, and action through the aid of the imaginative faculty of the mind. It has been said that man can create anything which he can imagine. Of all the ages of civilization, this is the most favorable for the development of the imagination because it is an age of rapid change. On every hand, one may contact stimuli which develop the imagination. Through the aid of his imaginative faculty, man has discovered and harnessed more of nature's forces during the past 50 years than during the entire history of the human race, previous to that time. He has conquered the air so completely that birds are a poor match for him in flying. He has harnessed the ether and made it serve as a means of instantaneous communication with any part of the world. He has analyzed and weighed the sun at a distance of millions of miles and has determined through the aid of imagination the elements of which it consists. He has discovered that his own brain is both a broadcasting and a receiving station for the vibration of thought. And he is beginning now to learn how to make practical use of this discovery. He has increased the speed of locomotion until he may now travel at a speed of more than 300 miles an hour. The time will soon come when a man may breakfast in New York and lunch in San Francisco. Man's only limitation, within reason, lies in his development and use of his imagination. He has not yet reached the apex of development in the use of his imaginative faculty. He has merely discovered that he has an imagination and has commenced to use it in a very elementary way. Two forms of imagination. The imaginative faculty functions in two forms. One is known as synthetic imagination and the other as creative imagination. Synthetic imagination, through this faculty, one may arrange old concepts, ideas, or plans into new combinations. This faculty creates nothing. It merely works with the material of experience, education, and observation with which it is fed. It is the faculty used most by the inventor, with the exception of the one who draws upon the creative imagination when he cannot solve his problem through synthetic imagination. Creative imagination. Through the faculty of creative imagination, the finite mind of man has direct communication with infinite intelligence. It is the faculty through which hunches and inspirations are received. It is by this faculty that all basic or new ideas are handed over to man. It is through this faculty that thought vibrations from the minds of others are received. It is through this faculty that one individual may tune in or communicate with the subconscious minds of other men. It is through this faculty that thought vibrations from the mind... Oh, excuse me, we just read that. The creative imagination works automatically in the manner described in subsequent pages. This faculty functions only when the conscious mind is vibrating at an exceedingly rapid rate. As, for example, when the conscious mind is stimulated through the emotion of a strong desire. The creative faculty becomes more alert, more receptive to vibrations from the sources mentioned in proportion to its development through use. This statement is significant. Ponder over it before passing on. So let's read that again. The creative faculty becomes more alert, more receptive to vibrations from the sources mentioned in proportion to its development through use. This statement is significant. Ponder over it before passing on. Keep in mind as you follow these principles that the entire story of how one may convert desire into money cannot be told in one statement. The story will be complete only when one has mastered, assimilated, and begun to make use of all the principles. The great leaders of business, industry, finance, and the great artists, musicians, poets, and writers became great because they developed the faculty of creative imagination. Both the synthetic and creative faculties of imagination become more alert with use, just as any muscle or organ of the body develops through use. Desire is only a thought, an impulse. It is nebulous and ephemeral. It is abstract and of no value until it has been transformed into its physical counterpart. While the synthetic imagination is the one which will be used most frequently in the process of transforming the impulse of desire into money, you must keep in mind the fact that you may face circumstances and situations which demand use of the creative imagination as well. Your imaginative faculty may have become weak through inaction. It can be revived and made alert through use. This faculty does not die, though it may become quiescent through the lack of use. Center your attention for the time being on the development of the synthetic imagination, because this is the faculty which you will use more often in the process of converting desire into money. Transformation of the intangible impulse of desire into the tangible reality of money calls for the use of a plan or plans. These plans must be formed with the aid of the imagination and mainly with the synthetic faculty. Read the entire book through, then come back to this chapter and begin at once to put your imagination to work on the building of a plan or plans for the transformation of your desire into money. Detailed instructions for the building of plans have been given in almost every chapter. Carry out the instructions best suited to your needs. Reduce your plan to writing. If you have not already done so, the moment you complete this, you will have definitely given concrete form to the intangible desire. Read the preceding sentence once more. Read it aloud very slowly, and as you do so, remember that the moment you reduce the statement of your desire and a plan for its realization to writing, you have actually taken the first in a series of steps which will enable you to convert the thought into its physical counterpart. So I'm going to read that again. Carry out the instructions best suited to your needs. Reduce your plan to writing if you have not already done so. The moment you complete this, you will have definitely given concrete form to the intangible desire. The earth on which you live, you, yourself, and every other material thing are the result of evolutionary change through which microscopic bits of matter have been organized and arranged in an orderly fashion. Moreover, and this is a statement of stupendous importance, this earth, every one of the billions of individual cells in your body and every atom of matter began as an intangible form of energy. Desire is thought impulse. Thought impulses are forms of energy. When you begin with the thought impulse, desire to accumulate money, you are drafting into your service the same stuff that nature used in creating this earth and every material form in the universe, including the body and brain in which the thought impulses function. As far as science has been able to determine, the entire universe consists of but two elements, matter and energy. Through the combination of energy and matter has been created everything perceptible to man, from the largest star which floats in the heavens, down to and including man himself. You are now engaged in the task of trying to profit by nature's method. You are sincerely and earnestly, we hope, trying to adapt yourself to nature's laws. By endeavoring to convert desire into its physical or monetary equivalent, you can do it. It has been done before. You can build a fortune through the aid of laws which are immutable. But first, you must become familiar with these laws and learn to use them. Through repetition and by approaching the description of these principles from every conceivable angle, the author hopes to reveal to you the secret through which every great fortune has been accumulated. Strange and paradoxical as it may seem, the secret is not a secret. Nature herself advertises it in the earth on which we live, the stars, the planets suspended within our view, in the elements above and around us, in every blade of grass and every form of life within our vision. Nature advertises this secret in the terms of biology and the conversion of a tiny cell, so small that it may be lost on the point of a pin, into the human being now reading this line. The conversion of desire into its physical equivalent is certainly no more miraculous. Do not become discouraged if you do not fully comprehend all that has been stated. Unless you have long been a student of the mind, it is not expected that you will assimilate all that is in this chapter upon a first reading. But you will, in time, make good progress. The principles which follow will open the way for understanding of imagination. Assimilate that which you understand as you read this philosophy for the first time. Then, when you reread and study it, you will discover that something has happened to clarify it and give you a broader understanding of the whole. Above all, do not stop nor hesitate in your study of these principles until you have read the book at least 3 times, for then you will not want to stop. Oh, I have to chuckle every time I read that line, because here we are now doing this call for over 2 years, and we've been studying this book for over 2 years. I have, anyway, and many of you have been on with me as well, and it's almost prophetic that Napoleon Hill knew that once you read the book a few times, you wouldn't want to stop. I have to chuckle when I read that line. But anyway, I think we're going to stop there. That's a lot for us to cover. And I just wanted to make a few observations, and then we'll open up the lines for the mastermind discussion part of the call. In terms of imagination, one of the first areas I believe that we are, as students of this philosophy, and as students of the science of getting rich, and hopefully some of you have also been students of Psycho-Cybernetics, another book that is truly transformational and life-changing. One of the first tasks mentioned in all three of those books is to spend a little bit of time each day in visualization. You know, Dr. Napoleon Hill in the self-confidence formula, we say for 30 minutes daily, we visualize the person I intend to become. In Psycho-Cybernetics, he gives us the same exercise. Spend 30 minutes a day visualizing the person you intend to become. Wallace Wattles in The Science of Getting Rich gives us a similar exercise, but phrases a little bit differently. He says that you need to spend a little bit of time visualizing the vision, the mental picture of that which you are going to bring into your life. And Wallace Wattles talks about how holding that mental image, with gratitude and faith will cause that to start to, you know, come into existence, and you need to be in action, and that'll be the receiving portion. But that mental image, he says, is so critical and so crucial. Dr. Napoleon Hill also, in the major definite purpose part of the formula, mentions that when we visualize the amount of money that we intend to acquire, he says you need to repeat that over and over and over until you can actually see the money in your imagination. And I'll tell you, it being able to visualize a vision of what you want to have come to pass in your future, whether it's visualizing yourself acting in more self-confidence on the phone or with people in social interactions, or whether it's visualizing the home that you want to have, or the amount of money you want to accumulate, or maybe even the car that you want to bring into your life, the people that you want to impact, whatever it is, that visualization, that first use of imagination that we're all called upon to start to do, it takes work. I mean, just from my own experience, it's not the easiest thing to do. Sustained thought, it's been said, I believe, in Think and Grow Rich, is one of the hardest labors that we're called upon to endure. Thought is a labor. Imagination is a labor, and it literally takes effort and focus to create something in your mind that does not yet exist. But that is one of the first areas that we are called upon to utilize this imagination. And, you know, in the beginning, it might just be visualizing a check with the name of the company on the top left-hand side and your name on the center of the check and the amount. That might be it to start off with. Maybe it doesn't have to be really elaborate. Maybe you don't have to paint a picture of everything you want to bring into your life. But as you apply and see that this stuff really does work, I believe that's the evolution of where we'll want to go, is being able to paint a crystal clear vision of where we want to go in our lives, and getting that mental image and holding it in our minds and thinking about it and pondering it and refining it and making the colors maybe a little bit more vivid, making the outlines, the shapes a little bit more crisp and clearer. And that does take work, and it's something that I'm excited to continue practicing, because I'm by no means anywhere near perfect at this exercise. But I do believe, based upon the different authors that we study, I do believe it's a critical, critical piece of the formula. And it's one that I think we could all use a little bit of work on. So that's the first area that I think we really need to focus some attention on, using that imagination. And then the second, obviously, as Dr. Napoleon Hill pointed out today, is in the formulation of a plan. Taking, you know, advice from mentors, taking the best knowledge of that which we have to put together a plan, using that synthetic imagination to put together a plan that we can begin taking action on. That also takes a little bit of imagination. So I'm excited to hear your thoughts on the subject matter. Let me go ahead and open up the lines, and we'll have a fantastic, stimulating, thought-provoking mastermind discussion as we all help each other grow in this knowledge. One moment, please. Star 6 to unmute your line.
Morning, Paul.
Good morning, Melvin. So great to hear your voice today.
Hey, it's great to hear yours. You know, you cover so many things that, and not just one thing. I know one of the first things that you mentioned, in terms of learning to live in the now, which is something we definitely need to be doing, and we need to be doing that at all time. That's not something to do now and then, but to learn to live in the now and make the most of every moment. And if we're doing that, you'll find yourself very, very seldom will you find yourself thinking negative or having to bring yourself out of a slump or anything of that, because it just becomes something that you do. It becomes automatic. It becomes habit. So, good point, learning to live in the now. The other thing, too, is yesterday we talked a lot about school. I just wanted to say one little thing on that today, too, because when you go to school, one of the points trying to be made is you're taught to get in line and to think this way. So, to a large degree, the imagination portion is being taken away from, and you're being taught what to think rather than how to. So that's one of the things that we need to be doing now. And in doing a lot of what we need to do, we have to unlearn. It's not so much that we have to be just learning. There's things that we have already learned that we have to unlearn because they work more against us than for us. So it's coming out of school not knowing, you know, I graduated and I came out of school not knowing this thing you just talked about this morning that is so major, this thing called energy, the power of this thing called energy, that I consist of energy, that all things are made of energy, that I can help create that, that I can help manifest all of that with my imagination. The power in that that gives one control over their life compared to being taught how to get in line, think this way, and live this kind of life. If that's so important. I'm never trying to just put school down. There are some basics that you get from there. But as far as being taught how to become all that you can become and how unique and how special we each are, you won't get it from there. And that's why it's so necessary for each of us to get on with educating ourselves. And even with all the information we get on this call, we need to only take what we need for now. So everything said here we need not follow. We need to take the things that we need at that moment and implement those, because you can become so regimented with all of this that you kill the natural flow and your creativity and hold back on your imagination. The last thing is on the time, after you use your imagination and you come up with those dollar amounts that we want, then the rest of the time has to be thought in relation to what I need to be doing to make all that happen. So I only need to be spending so much time on I want this amount of money. Now the rest of the time on what you said in terms of plan of action and then implementing that to make that become a reality. With that, back to you, Paul.
Great points, Melvin. Always appreciate your wisdom and insight. Really, really good stuff. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Star 6, who's next?
Hey, Paul. Good morning, my friend. Paul, Mr. Hutchins, how are you?
Excellent, Rick. Good morning. How are you?
I'm doing fantastic. And how's the snow in Bigfoot, Idaho?
We don't have much snow today, unfortunately.
Yeah. You know, I didn't realize I was in the group when I posted that picture, but anyways, I'm glad I did. I did get a comment from you yesterday. Where is the snow? My friend, well, I had a double pack of this call this morning because I listened to the talk from yesterday. And I'm not one of those guys who subscribe to the talk that knowledge isn't power. And what I mean by that is there's a lots of ways to use knowledge. In fact, there are things that are happening around you that you're not aware of when you have knowledge. There's confidence. There's a certain amount of confidence. There's a certain amount of self-respect that you don't really pay attention to. And once you start, when you learn to respect yourself, it's easier to respect others. It's kind of an automatic process. And so you don't really see that. Walk around with somebody who is completely ignorant in their attitude, they're easily to get upset. So there's a lot of things that you don't see, like the monetary, that we judge success by money most of the time in this country. If you want to say somebody is successful, you look at the earthly possessions. And that's really a misnomer, a huge mistake. But that's a place where we can start also. Because that's really can lead you to the wrong path, okay? And so you got to really think about things. You know, the thought, what you talked about, how much energy it takes to think about things, Paul, and using your imagination, it's so powerful because Thomas Edison said, man who had 2,500 notebooks at the time of his death, said, there is no expediency that a man wouldn't resort to forego the labor of thinking. And so it's critical. And another thing is that Napoleon talks about it. The subconscious mind doesn't know the difference between a penny and $1 million. So that's why your imagination comes in. You have to give the picture to your subconscious mind what it is, $1 million, $10 million looks like, what a Ferrari looks like, you know, what a 12,000 square foot home looks like, if that's what you want. You have to tell it. You have to communicate to it clearly. You might say you want a new home. A new home could be in your friend's backyard. A new, you know, in a spare room, in somebody else's place, someplace different. So you have to say, well, you know, you can see yourself signing the document, your name on there, paying the mortgage, all those things. You know, keeping the home for the next 30 years or whatever that case might be. You know, so those things are very important. The communication you have with yourself is so important because that subconscious mind is a brain control center. Now, you must take charge of it, control it, or somebody else will control it for you. We know the power of that. And I believe this, one more thing, and I believe that there's some confusion about auto-suggestion. There is self-talk. The self-talk is not auto-suggestion. You see, it's that creation when you create a point in where you want to go. Auto-suggestion is what helps you in the background direct you with hunches, different things that and that. And when you disrespect them, you are destroying auto-suggestion. Auto-suggestion is not self-talk. When you say what my goal is and this and that, and you repeat that in the morning, my friend, is not auto-suggestion. Okay? That's self-talk. So it will prepare you, give you ideas, respect those ideas, and move forward as you go along. That's auto-suggestion. It's doing it on its own, not you saying it. And that's the end of my talk for this morning. I hope we gained something from that. And Mr. Hutchins, have a day filled with opulence, and that means all of us. Fantastic.
Rick, you're a great man. Love what you've shared. Always appreciate you, buddy. I think we might have a little bit of a maybe misunderstanding on terms on auto-suggestion. Clearly, from Napoleon Hill's chapter on auto-suggestion, auto-suggestion, according to Napoleon Hill, is the words that you repeat to yourself, the major definite purpose, the self-confidence formula. I think you might be referring to inspiration, I think, maybe when you're saying that it's different. But I could be wrong. That's just my interpretation. Good points, though. Star 6, who's next?
Paul.
This is Steven.
Melvin, go ahead.
What Rick just said is true. Auto-suggestion is not something you're repeating yourself. Auto-suggestion is something that is happening after that, that you've repeated something to yourself so much that it is now automatic and you don't have to give any more thought to it. So one helps create auto-suggestion. The other, what Rick said, is auto-suggestion. Back to you, Paul.
I appreciate that. Let me read Napoleon Hill's definition from the first part of Chapter 4 entitled Auto-Suggestion. Napoleon Hill writes, auto-suggestion is a term which applies to all suggestions and all self-administered stimuli which reach one's mind through the five senses. Stated in another way, auto-suggestion is self-suggestion. It is the agency of communication between that part of the mind where conscious thought takes place and that which serves as the seat of action for the subconscious mind. That's Napoleon Hill's definition. Steven, go ahead, sir.
It is Dan.
I just wanted to kind of you know, first say last night I had one of the first breakthroughs in my business, and what came about, and it's kind of ironic that it came about this way, is I was playing with one of those miniature helicopters that you can control with like a remote control, or this one specifically, it's controlled by an app on your cell phone. And I was sitting there and I was playing around with it or whatever, and one of the things that I realized was is the helicopter hovers if you don't let it, if you don't accelerate it or don't touch it. And, you know, you can bring it up and down, you can turn it around or whatever. And the first breakthrough I had was is, you know, for so long, and I'm sure, you know, a lot of people on this call can relate to it, in life I was just hovering. I was just staying in one spot. I wasn't moving left. I wasn't moving right. I wasn't going up, and I wasn't going down. And, you know, last night, like when I had that breakthrough, I started working on a plan for me to stop hovering and to move up in my life, to move forward and to start accomplishing my goals, which, you know, I've been setting since I've been on this call. And, you know, I now have in place, well, I still have a few more things to touch on, but I now have a 90-day action plan in place over the next 90 days that I'm going to start working on at the beginning of the new year to accelerate my business, to accelerate the rapid growth of not only me, but my business. And, you know, what... Another kind of thing that came to me last night was as I was talking to a prospect for my business, and this individual kept going on and on about how they're not sure if they can do this and, you know, all these other things. They were coming up with excuses as to why they couldn't do it versus reasons why they should do it. And, you know, I simply told this prospect, I'm like, look, if this is how you honestly feel, I'm not going to participate in this transaction with you. And he just kind of, he paused for a second. He's like, well, what do you mean? Isn't it your job to kind of recruit me and persuade me? And I'm like, yes, in a certain way. I'm like, I have learned over the last month or so that participating in a transaction in which doesn't benefit all parties involved is not a transaction in which I want to take place in. And so, you know, that prospect kind of, you know, stood back and was like, okay, where do I go from here? But those are one of the things that we need to look at as individuals when we're talking to prospects or when we're talking to potential clients is it going to benefit both parties? Napoleon Hill has mentioned it multiple times in this book. And, you know, one last thing I want to share with you guys, and then I'll pass it back to you, Paul, is last night, or earlier this morning, actually, I get a call at like 2 o'clock in the morning from a mentor of mine. One of three mentors that I received intensive training from, he calls me at 2 o'clock in the morning. Now, normally, you know, the average individual won't answer their phone, but something sparked me to answer that phone. And I was on the phone with him for an hour, and one of the things he told me was the fact that this world would not be the same without me in it. And, you know, I wanted to share that with you guys because this world would not be the same with each without each individual that is on this call and with other individuals that are in this world. It would not be the same without us being here. And that changed my whole perspective of how I want to live the rest of my life and how I'm going to move forward. And so if you can kind of wrap your head around that a little bit, I think you're going to have a breakthrough with your business and start setting a plan of action, whether it's 30 days down the road, whether it's 60 days, 90 days, a year down the road, but not only set those goals, set that plan of action, but do it. It doesn't matter if you just set it and forget it. You need to actually take action. And for the longest time, that's what I've been neglecting to do. So I just wanted to share that with you, Paul. Thanks for the call, and thanks for everybody for participating. Back to you.
Steven, really excited to hear about your breakthroughs, man. Really awesome, awesome, exciting stuff, and appreciate your insights as well. Really on target. Stan, if you would star six and come on out, I heard Stan coming out with Steven. You still there, Stan? Okay, maybe I was mistaken. Star six, who's next? Come on out.
Dan from Dunedin.
Oh, Dan. Hey, good morning. Sorry about that.
No, that's okay. I just wanted to give a chance for super, super Stan, but it would be super duper, not just Stan. I just wanted to thank you for the call. Thank you for the readings. It comes to me as a great vibration, and we are all sending out vibrations. And obviously, whether we speak it or we auto-format it in ourselves and it becomes an automatic thing, obviously that's where the habit of 21 repetitions come in. So I appreciate your redefining on Chapter 4, auto-suggestion, because we continue to send out vibrations. And as long as the ripples in the pond are a positive thing, we can continue to build on that and develop a very quality personality and endeavor to be better. So thanks for resonating with me on the words that you shared today. Thank you so much.
Hey, Dan, I appreciate that as well. And I kind of want to – it does concern me a little bit that there's confusion on auto-suggestion. I might challenge everyone to go reread that chapter, because it's critical that we clearly understand what auto-suggestion is. And Napoleon Hill tells us to read the chapter every night for as long as it takes till we really get it. So just a recommendation. Star six, who's next? Come on out.
Hey, this is Karen.
Hey, Karen. Good morning.
Good morning. My full name that people might know me by is Karen Elizabeth, and I never do that. You know, I heard certain personality types will give your first and your last name. I tend to be more casual and just be my first name. But Karen Elizabeth is actually my name, and people know me by that on social media. Anyway, just to be clear, in case anybody's on there, I just loved what the guy before, the last guy, I mean, I love what everybody's saying, but the whole idea of saying that the world would not be the same without you, someone years ago had said that to me, and I passed that forward, and I'm like, I wonder if his mentor got that from me. So he started saying it. You just never know, because I love that. I mean, it makes you feel so so valuable, and we all need to feel that value. Now, the point that I wanted to make was about the four things. I know John Ashraf, I think, had mentioned it. The conscious confidence, and then the unconscious confidence. Those terms, when we are able to, you know, make statements, affirmations, and then way after having said those affirmations, we automatically, they come to us in our mind, then we are now unconsciously competent. You go from, of course, you guys probably know this, you know, conscious incompetence, then conscious competence. Then we move to unconscious competence, where we don't even know that we don't know something, to consciously incompetent, where we actually realize we don't know something, to conscious competence, which is where we know that we know something now, to unconscious competence, where it is just part of our very being. And that's where the auto-suggestion, we want that auto-suggestion to take us to, where we just, in our minds, we are thinking with, you know, positively. And so however you want to deal with the auto-suggestion, I look at auto-suggestion as deliberate. I believe that Napoleon Hill speaks of that. It's a deliberate decision to speak it consciously. It's a conscious choice to say it. when you get to the other part where it's the fabric of your being, I mean, ultimately that's, you know, that's the, that now you're changed and now you're evolved, and that's always happening. But I believe that the idea that Napoleon Hill was speaking of is more of like something of an affirmation, where it's something written or something that you say or something that you listen to, and you do it over and over again to retrain your mind towards what it is that you want. So thank you again. I loved your reading today. You guys are great, and I'm so happy to be on this call.
I love what you've shared. That makes so much sense. And if I could just share kind of a little story to maybe further illustrate what you're talking about there. One of the first times I remember this, what you just talked about happening for me, is one of the lines in my auto-suggestion document that I say to myself every day as auto-suggestion, is that deliberate planting of those ideas in my mind. One of the lines in there that I kind of got from Doc Fran, part of his philosophy, is I accept each and every event that happens in my life as an experience that God has given to me for my own benefit, and I'm so grateful for those events. So I recognize that as a part of a philosophy that I wanted to have in my life. So every day I'm saying that to myself. Every day I'm saying that to myself. One day I remember going outside, and my wife and I, we would park our cars next to each other. I have a Honda Civic and my wife has a Suburban. And I remember going outside, it was in the summertime, and I walked down the middle of these two cars, and I noticed that my son Caden, my six-year-old, who had just learned how to ride his bike, he had gone down the center of our cars, and with his handlebars, the rubber on the handlebars is worn off, so he had the metal sticking out the end. He'd gone down the center, and there was a scratch all the way down the Suburban. There was another scratch all the way down my Honda. And I was like, oh my gosh, you know, these two scratches all the way down the center of our cars. And the thought came to me, this is an event for me to grow, because I had been repeating that line, I accept each and every event that happens in my life as an experience that God has given to me for my own benefit. And typically, I probably would have flown off the handle, but instead I went over and I sat down on the swing in our front yard, and I just kind of thought about the situation, and I thought, what am I supposed to learn from this, you know? But that was an example of consciously planting a thought through auto-suggestion, to where when the experience happened that I needed it, it came to me kind of unconsciously, and I was able to not lose it and you know, handle that situation in a better way. So I just wanted to share that thought. Star 6, who's next? Come on out.
Paul?
Yes.
This is Jetty.
Hey, Jetty, good morning.
How are you?
Good.
I am so glad that Karen came out and said what she did. That's the way I feel, but I could not say it the way she did. But that's what I live by. And I thank you, Karen, so much for saying it. I could not get my tongue around the words the way you did. And back to you, Paul.
Thank you, Jetty. Agree. It was beautifully stated.
Hey, Paul, this is Frank from Delaware.
Hey, good morning, Frank.
Good morning, and good morning to everybody there, all my Tagger family. I just wanted to bring out that with auto-suggestion, you can make things that you can cause bad things to happen to yourself. Whatever you repeat in your mind, the words that you use become your auto-suggestion, because whatever you are putting your mind upon, that's exactly what will come to pass. Okay, so self-talk is auto-suggestion to the extent that whatever we're saying is what we're going to reap. Whatever we sow, we reaped. So that's why Napoleon Hill talks about our self-talk being positive, in a positive bent, because that will become the thing that we actualize. It'll be either positive or negative. And that's why we always have to lean towards the positive. That's why we always have to make our brains go towards a positive thought all the time. We don't want to put those negative thoughts in our head, and we don't want to have negative self-talk, because that will become exactly what auto-suggestion actualizes. So back to you, Paul.
Thank you, Frank. Appreciate that. And 100% in alignment with what Dr. Hill teaches. I really appreciate that. Star 6, who's next? Come on out. Don't be shy. Hey, good morning.
Hey, this is Mark from Maine.
Hey, Mark, good morning.
This is a great chapter, and the whole book's been great. And first of all, glad you're still here. the world was supposed to end today. If you didn't hear that, I was reminded last night by one of my children that, hey, why should I? We should have a party because tomorrow we'll all be gone, but we're all still here. So again, somebody made an error in judgment, I guess, in predicting that the world will end on a certain day. It will end on a certain day, but we don't know that, and we won't know that. But anyway, to allow our imaginations to be controlled in setting our goals and setting our dreams, that we can reach those. It's just been miraculous how we can imagine things and how they can come into reality. And by using auto-suggestion, we can either put ourselves up or bring ourselves down. So we do need to be careful what we say and how we say it, so that we don't bring ourselves down, and that we do remain a positive force to ourselves, let alone those around us. But it will change. People around us will see a change in us when we do read that formula, because it does give you confidence. It does give you it helps build your belief and your faith. Those two run neck and neck as far as what builds one or the other. But I believe your belief strengthens your faith, but you have to have that burning desire first. Rick said that the other day, and I agree with that. You have to have the first an object or set a goal, and then you have to have the desire to reach that goal and let nothing stand in your way. But also, as that formula says, that we do need to do it with truth and justice. And I am just so excited to watch miracles happen all around my life and my family. This it's just been miraculous. It's the only way I can say it. But and I'm so thankful for this call, and that we're all still here, and that we can still keep moving ahead and still reach our goals and see our dreams come to reality, and that it's just going to be a great day to be alive, and it's and each day to be thankful. I just heard this, I think it was, I was listening to a recording about making a gratitude journal, and I think that would help us all to be thankful for everything that we do receive. And of course, this season of the, especially here and around the world, or thinking about giving things, and we should give ourselves a gift of a gratitude journal, that each day we get up and at least write down five things that we are grateful for. And I think that would help us keep focus on where we need to be and where we need to go. And with that, Paul, back to you.
Mark, thank you very much. Appreciate those thoughts and great suggestion. We can all use more gratitude, no question. And that's a key part of the formula as we learn through the science of getting rich. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Star 6, who's next?
Hey, Paul.
Who is the lady? I think she
Sorry,
was
Sorry, it was Karen again. I had another thought when he was talking about this whole thing with the if you don't mind, I'll just be brief. The whole idea with this, you know, the end of the world and whatnot, I thought about our thoughts. And, you know, Napoleon Hill speaks about how our thoughts are the closest thing to divinity because it was because of the how creation was created was by the desire of the creator. And we don't know the force, really. We know God, you know, he's God. But the point is... you know, in the Tower of Babel, it gives like an illustration of groups of people coming together for a common cause. And, you know, I thought about that in terms of this whole thing with, you know, the ideas and the thoughts and the plans that somebody has that they bring into a media focus because of the power of media. And they cause lots of minds to be persuaded in one way, a lot of followers, that is, to be persuaded in one way or to be thinking a certain way. The power of groups of thoughts, we know for mastermind, can develop a lot of wonderful imagination and ideas for business success. But the point is that to realize that our imagination and our thinking, that's not my background, by the way, our thinking as a group could cause a movement in the earth to develop. So if, you know, if 10 people are thinking about a hurricane going to happen, I don't know what the power of minds are, but I see that there is a way that we as a group of people can use the power of our minds together to mastermind for good, to overcome the negative stuff that's going on. And I just challenge everybody, as we grow, think and grow rich, that more of us need to be on this so that we can be using it for good. That's my thought.
Excellent, Karen. Thank you so much. What a beautiful illustration of the power we have and of the potential that we can have together. Really appreciate that. Star 6, who's next?
Doc Fran.
Clear the line.
Dr. Mitchell?
I thought I heard Dr. Mitchell. Was that right? Star 6, Dr. Mitchell, if that was you.
Yeah, it was Dr. Mitchell and then Doc Fran.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I'm here.
Go ahead.
Well, I wanted to say good morning to everyone and a little clarity on what this day is also supposed to be, which is the winter solstice. And keeping in mind, as this is touted to be the darkest day of the year. Now, that's one way to look at it. The other way to look at it is that starting tomorrow, the light will be returning. And my idea, my thought, as we're having this conversation this morning on imagination, is, you know, as the light begins to return, as we've been doing this call for however weeks, months, or years that people have been on, if we as a group create an imagination based on our intuition, those areas within each of us that manifest the desire to have a better world for all of us, whether it's financial or emotional, and we create this mastermind of sending those vibrations out on what will start to be the light returning in our lives. As far as the interpretation, my interpretation of the end of the world, it's also been stated that it's the end of the world as we knew it. The end of doing things the way we used to do them. So we're being offered an opportunity to do things in a different way. So today, as we are faced with the least amount of light of the year, to take that time to introspect, to decide how was it we've been doing things in the past that we'd like to change for how we want to do things in the future? I just put that out to everyone as we begin to enter the new light of a new era. And I thank you for the call and all the great masterminds of this on this group. Back to you, Paul.
Beautiful thoughts, Dr. Mitchell. Thank you. Doc, we didn't leave you much time. Go ahead. Sorry about that.
I'll be brief. You know, I've just listened intently to the conversation today. And, you know, our chapter is about imagination. And the point I have been working on myself is really allowing myself to try and have that childlike imagination that we all had at that point in our lives. And if we read the first part of this chapter, he talks about two types of imagination, a synthetic and a creative. And over time, it seems to me that the synthetic becomes the more dominant thought because it is allowing us to be cognitively aware and to assemble and to align things that we've already experienced, and we try and control the imagination. And when we're children, you know, our imaginations have no boundaries, and that stick that we pick up can be a gun or a sword or a knife or a magic wand or a ray gun or anything that chooses or fits the game that we are playing, the game that we've imagined ourselves playing at that time. And that's really the power of it. I've been working deliberately on not trying to control how the universe is going to deliver my imaginary desires. And the proof of the effectiveness of that is pretty amazing because I've had this vision of what I want my life to look like. And I've held fast to that, and thanks to the power of this call, I've learned a lot of tools and techniques that I am allowing myself to actually employ, and the results are nothing short of a miracle. And, you know, when you do just imagine, and when you develop the faith to believe in that imagination, and when you allow that faith to be mixed with the emotion of already having that as we're trained, and when you have those three components, it's very easy to align your actions with that vision. And the result of it is that, you know, I reached the point where, you know, we all get tired. We get tired of making calls and trying to outreach and influence people. So I just said to myself, all right, I'm going to make one more call. And we've talked about the power of recruiting up, you know, call people that you're afraid to call. And so I did one of those calls. And it's a person that I've known about for decades, don't know the person, never met the person, called them up, actually got them on the phone, engaged them in conversation, and the net effect is that individual said yes, and I've just aligned an individual with my endeavors now that lives in that proverbial castle in the sky, $100 million estate. Something that, you know, has only been the stuff of imaginations for most of us, including myself. And now suddenly the reality of that image going forward of accomplishing the fulfillment of my imagination has gone a quantum leap closer. So, folks, this works. Let your imagination work. Whatever you do, imagine yourself with faith, with trust, with alignment of purpose and alignment of action. It all will come true because what you're creating is exactly what you have in alignment. Back to you, Paul.
What a great story to close out the call, Doc. That is fantastic. Thank you, and thanks to everyone on the line who is bringing their positive vibrations together on a daily basis. And I just love the vision that's been painted for us by Karen and Dr. Mitchell for where we can go as we utilize the imagination, as we allow ourselves to dream and believe like little children, as Doc Fran stated. Yesterday when I was at lunch with my friend, I told him about when I was a kid. I literally have a crystal clear memory when I was a child of coming home from a school program and seeing Santa Claus, his reindeer in the sky. I literally remember seeing Santa Claus, and that's imagination. There's something to be admired of that imagination that children have, and my wish is that we can move a little bit more towards that as we move forward in the future. And I think we can astound ourselves of how our lives can be and how the world could be as we develop this together. So love you. Appreciate you. Thanks for a great week. Have a great weekend, and we'll see you back here Monday morning on the Think and Grow Rich call. Take care, everyone. Bye-bye for now.